Okay, Joan, I don't know which side of the bed you like. I prefer the right, but I'm flexible, I'm easy. I'm not really sure how this works, but I intend to stay in this bed as long as it takes to get my point across. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a timer. I don't know if you have magic fingers. I'm not sure what happens in here. But hey, I'm easy, so to speak.
Hi, I'm Joan Rivers, and welcome to In Bed with Joan. And let's get right to it. Let's see who's coming out of my closet today. Hello?
Hey, Joan.
Ah! Hey, Flannery. All right. How nice.
Oh, boy.
Great dress.
Thank you so much.
Sad for you. Office is over.
It's over. The party's over. The drunken party's over.
Oh, May 16th.
May 16th. Nine seasons.
Nine seasons?
It's kind of the biggest champagne problem in the world, right? Right. Thank you.
When they brought you in, who interviewed you? Was it still Ricky Gervais?
No, Ricky wasn't there. It was Greg Daniels. I actually replaced somebody in the pilot, so I wasn't in the pilot. And then
who was the lucky girl to replace? She must be really happy. Well, we're not using you, using somebody else. 9 years later. She's now waiting on you in Woolworths. You know, hi. Remember me? I was the original character.
The guilt. The guilt.
The guilt.
The guilt. The guilt. Don't bring on the guilt. You know I'm Irish Catholic. Well, you know, what
Why
are you going to do?
Why weren't you a nun?
You know what? I'm not sure. I used to make fun of the nuns. You know, I went to Catholic school in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, it was...
Because I come from an all-Catholic neighborhood.
Oh, so you understand.
Only Jew. That's why I'm asking you. And every family had to give one child back to the church.
I have one sister that was sort of... She was on the fence, but
and
we got her back. We got her back.
Was she knocked up?
No.
I mean, what made her... Mom and
Dad,
I don't think...
No, I just... I think it's my parents still have a broken heart over no one becoming a spiritual person in our family. So, you know, what? And that's actually my twin sister was going to be the nun. So I'm the evil twin.
When you were older than her by 3 minutes?
Younger than her by 3 minutes.
That's not good.
Why?
Because wasn't she always saying I'm older?
Yes. And she was more of a character as a kid. I was more like, let's put on a show, you know. I don't know. Get me out of this big family. Hey, my dad owns a bar. Help me.
Seven children.
Yes.
So how can you get attention?
I fought like a dog. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm still fighting. That's why I'm a desperate redhead.
Yeah.
I was not born with this red hair. Like half the family was red, half the family was brunette. I was a brunette.
And when did you turn red?
1990, none of your business.
Okay. And may I ask, because I've seen you take your top off in the office.
Yes, you have. Wow, yeah, okay.
America has.
Right.
Does the collar match the cuffs? you know what I'm saying.
I do. There's not a lot going on down there anymore. Because no, by choice. By choice.
Yeah, sure. By choice.
By choice.
By choice.
I do have a boyfriend, and we have a fantastic activity schedule on a regular basis. What I meant was it's smooth sailing down there. You know what I'm saying? It's smooth. I do
wax?
The Brazilian. Yeah.
Wax
yeah.
to shave.
Wax.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't do it. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, asking. Just
yes.
curious.
Yeah.
All right. That's
boy. We really.
I
are.
Braid.
Oh God.
It's been so long. I braid and I make little.
You braid. You get your spoon.
Doll
and your,
faces.
And your tree,
talk to each other. You gotta have fun when you're alone.
Put your nails in your spool and you braid your hair.
Let's go back to the office. 9 years.
Yes.
Does that mean when it's over, you're rich? Will you be getting residuals?
You know, I'm not like, hey, I'm buying a house in Italy.
Yeah.
No. But you know, it's obviously better than when I worked at Kate Manolini restaurant in Beverly Hills. You know, I'm doing better than that. I did.
Were you a waitress?
I was I actually kept my job through the first season of The Office. Yes, I did.
That's scary. I get it.
It's a lousy business, you know? I'm just saying, it's a lousy business.
So people would say, did I see you on The Office? And you go, what do you have?
That's kind of it sort of started to happen. And then, you know, and then actually my last day, my boss said, we were going to get you a cake, but you'll be back.
So as a waitress, yes. Who tipped you the best?
There was, Billy Wilder used to come in all the time, the little director.
Big producer, director, writer, just some like a hot is the first thing that comes.
Right.
Go look him up, but not now, you're watching us.
He was great. I mean, he was always, you know, I didn't make $1 million from him, but you know, there was always like a Laker that would come and we'd all fight trip over the Lakers, you know, like.
Did you ever have people come in and recognize you from the office?
A little bit. It started to happen sort of, or like when I did like some stage stuff, because I did a stage production of Valley of the Dolls, so someone would be like, I saw you in Neil O'Hara. Can I get my sauce on the side? And can you chop it up, step it up? You know, I mean, it was always like there was a compliment, but then you got like the back hand, you know.
But you had a great comedy, or have a great comedy.
We're like a dying lounge act. We're called the Lampshades.
What are the Lampshades?
The Lampshades is my comedy act. It's a dying lounge act. We call ourselves America's favorite dying lounge act. And it's sort of like a two performers in real time doing their lounge act on stage, dealing with the audience in real time. My partner has a drink and a cigarette at all times. He's like a drawn-on mustache. I'm wearing a jumpsuit, which has camel toe, a little extra hair, a little more glamour, but kind of she's a sad character. And we do song combinations, songs that everybody knows, but they're actually interesting versions. So we do like Mandy and Brandy at the same time. We do a thing called, which actually works out great. We do a thing called Hollywood Obituaries, where I sing Donna Summer's Last Dance while he reads a list of the recent Hollywood dead. only the interesting Hollywood dead, though, not just everybody. And then we do a thing called PBS, which is Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with the Marvin Gaye Sexual Healing and Sesame Street. It's sort of like a weave. Yeah.
Could you go into Vegas? And would they understand you in Vegas?
We could, although we have played...
When you do Celebrity Dead?
There's different levels.
Like some, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, some people might not get it, but they'd be musically entertained even if they didn't get it. We actually performed for like 600 Filipino nurses a couple years ago. We didn't know that they didn't speak any English.
Wait a second. Filipino nurses, that's easy. Oh, those girls, they laugh at fucking anything. You give me front row of Filipino nurses. And I'll give you a hot shot. Filipino nurse.
I forgot they were your people. I love when we have these really serious Spinal Tap moments. Because last year we played that event in Palm Springs for 600 gay sober men. It's called Hot and Dry. Do you know?
Yes. No, tell me.
Yes, and we didn't know till we got there we were opening for Debbie Gibson. It was fantastic. Wow. Seriously, like, it's just like...
May I say something?
Yes.
That is so sad. I'm so glad you had the offer. I'm so glad you had the offer. You were opening for Debbie Gibson.
I know.
Debbie Gibson can't even open for an opener. Oh, that's a show. I'd circle. It's Debbie Gibson. Come on, Melissa, let's go. Now, I like Debbie Gibson, but you know, looking back, did you marry a rich man? Because you have nice diamonds.
We're not married. My boyfriend gave this to me a couple years ago, and he said it's not what you think.
So is that real?
No, it's real, but he didn't want it.
It's not what you think? Well, that's a warm...
I was doing a play in New York. I know. But I was
You
doing...
are so not Jewish.
I know.
It's not what you think?
But you know what it is? He's hilarious.
I bet he is.
We were doing, I was doing that Nora Ephron play, Love, Loss, and What I Wore in New York a couple years ago. And I'm actually going to do it again in Philadelphia, just to be closer to my dysfunctional family for a couple weeks in end of June and July. Is it time sensitive? Does anybody care? Anyway.
No, because they can watch.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
They can see
so, yeah, so, so, yeah, so check out Love, Loss, and What I Wore. But anyway, because I was out of town, I felt like he got a little nervous. He's like, you're on the road. I'm like, I'm not on the road. I'm with four other women doing a play.
Two lesbians. Just let them know. It's a very different time.
Well, you know what it is? I feel like it was sort of like this was him taking, like, pissing on me, you know, saying, okay, she's taken.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Why don't you get married?
You know what? I might later. My boyfriend was
later.
Married. Well, you know, there's no rush.
I'm not, with all due respect.
I know. No, you're right. I know. It's I still think I'm 25.
Yeah,
I have maybe three eggs left. Right.
How many eggs you got left?
He has kids. My boyfriend was married,
and he has kids. Are they grown up?
The youngest is 12.
That's not bad.
To Melissa about, yeah. We talked about 12. That's good.
Yeah, 12 is good, because that means four more years, and it's out of the house. But you know what I mean.
I do.
Years, they get it.
Oh, I do. No, it's great.
They get a license, and bingo.
But also, my boyfriend and I don't live together. My boyfriend lives in Redondo. I live in Koreatown. I know, don't give me that look. I like Koreatown's fantastic.
I'm not knocking Koreatown. Okay, okay, okay. I think Koreatown's great. You can get cheap stuff there. I love Koreatown. May I ask, north or south? Korea. There's a big difference here.
Mr. Oon and I have a Dennis Rodman. We have it.
You live in Koreatown?
I did. I bought it's like my fake New York life. It's like a, you know. Should I not be revealing this on a website? Is someone going to come and stalk me?
No, we'll
The Koreans don't watch The Office. It's okay. I'm like, it free as a bird.
When you walk down the street, they go, white person. Do you get like reverse? Hey, it's whitey.
They're a little chilly. They're not interested. No, yeah. There's no spitting. Nothing hostile. Just sort of a hostile, you know, or just a cold blank passing by. That's all. I can live with that.
You are friendly with a lot of my friends.
Yes.
Jane Lynch.
Yes.
Who I adore.
She's the greatest.
The greatest. And Lily and Jane.
Yes.
Tomlin and Jane Wagner, who is her girlfriend, right? That's friends forever. How'd you get friendly?
Well, I did a play.
And these are hard. Here we go.
Well, Jane and I came up the ranks. We in Chicago. I knew her 20 years ago. We were doing the Real Life Brady Bunch together.
You've done a lot of theater.
I have, and it doesn't really pay. Just want to tell you, kids.
But yeah. But there's nothing like real
food. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's part of why I still do my comedy act, because I just have to have that, you know, and just writing the material and like having that immediate, you know, that immediate roadmap. So you don't lose touch with, you know, I feel like that's the problem with a lot of really big comedians, that you can tell when they've made it because they're not funny anymore. They don't do it anymore. They're not hungry anymore.
Could you give me names?
I don't know. I mean,
Jay Leno.
Well, he's still doing it. Jay's still doing it.
Well,
I'm just saying, you know, but there's some people that it's like, you know, I mean, even like somebody like Steve Martin who could take an audience and just like in the palm of his hand. And now it's like, you know, I mean, he just doesn't, he's not hungry. He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, I know, because they get too rich.
Yeah, yeah. And then they just, yeah, there's just a lack of perspective.
Now, you write all your own material, or a lot of your material.
Yeah.
You did, which I thought was hilarious. I didn't see it, so I have to ask you, the Miss Vagina pageant.
Yes, I did. Yes. Actually, that became, Lorne Michaels came, and it became an audition for SNL. And I swear to you, it was like a real Miss Vagina pageant. It was like a real pageant. It was crazy.
What did they do? First of all, was Miss Rhode Island like the smallest? I mean, what were the criteria there? You know what I mean? Anne Hesh was in I Miss Vagina Pageant. Tell me.
It was kind of like a typical pageant. And then as we would sort of introduce ourselves, like, I'm 26 years old and my vagina is fit to be tied. You know, like just sort of like my vagina is kind of sweaty. You know, like just kind of, you know. And then it was kind of a regular pageant. And at one point, they would ask us, you know, what's the most important problem facing the world today? And as we would go to answer, there would be like a slide of body parts on the wall. And the body part, you know, there'd be like a hair triangle. Like we had to do like a photo shoot. Very risky back in the 90s. And so everyone would be so appalled by seeing the person's vagina on the screen that they wouldn't listen to the answer, the most important problem facing the world today. So it was just sort of a comment on, you know, but it was a funny way to kind of comment on the whole thing. You know?
What did your family think of all this? I do my act, and I always think if my mother were alive today, she would kill herself all over again. She would just say that's it.
That means you're doing it right. That means you're doing it right. Yes, that means you're doing it right. You know, I feel like my dad, literally the first time I was topless on The Office, my dad sent me a letter, and it was a stamp of the Pope on the letter. And he said, "Dear Kate, stop taking off your shirt. Love, Dad." That was a letter. I showed it to the producers. They thought it was a letter. But, you know, it's like, and he actually called me 2 weeks ago because I usually warn him when I'm topless, and when I say warn, it's like 5 minutes before. I don't give them a lot of time to stew because it's not worth it. What are they going to do? There's nothing. They can't change it. So, and I forgot to tell him that I was topless again because I was a couple weeks ago. And he's like, he calls me. He's like, we had a deal. We had a deal.
Because he doesn't, you don't want to see. You know?
Right. Well, at least it's not HBO. I'm blurred out. It's, you know, it's all in your head. Right? Well,
I get it. When my father used to expose himself, I was so embarrassed.
Oh, God.
They'd call me up and say, he's at it again in front of the Larchmont Temple. Come again. It's just, you're at a second city.
Yes.
Yeah. Special club.
Right, right.
Who was in your group?
Scott Adsit, who is on 30 Rock, which doesn't exist anymore either. And there's a couple people, and I knew Nia Vardalos, I knew Stephen Colbert. I did know Steve Carell. I mean, I wasn't in the same cast with them, but I knew all those guys. Amy Sedaris. It was a bunch, you know, it was like, it was a great, great way to come up, really.
Did it change, my life. It made me understand I can do, say what you think, go with the moment.
Yeah.
Were you at that stage in your life? When did you decide you're going to get in the business, and how did you get in the business, and where did Second City come in?
Well, I wanted to be a child star. My mother was like, there's no way. And that's fine. Actually, it was a great thing. I mean, actually, she really did me a big favor, because every time I work with a kid, I'm like, oh, thank you, mother. Seriously, I mean, it's just, it's
hate
tough.
Child actors.
Right? I mean, plus, and they're screwed. They think they've got it all, and they've got, you know, I don't know. It's a short road. End of my lecture. But so when I was in high school, I did get to work in a dinner theater my senior year. I was in, like, Bye Bye Birdie. And then my parents were like, you still have to get your degree, go to college. So I worked in Philadelphia and went to school, and, you know, I went to the University of Arts in Philadelphia, and I got my degree, and we all know that and a dollar will get you, you know, a pretzel for lunch. You know, I mean, you know, but it was a great experience. And then I went to Chicago right after graduation, and I studied at Second City, and then I got hired at Second City, and we were doing the Real Life Brady Bunch and the Miss Vagina Pageant pretty much the same time I was working at Second City. And that sort of took off. So I left Second City. I took a leave of absence and kind of never went back, and just sort of, then I did Valley of the Dolls, and, you know, I just sort of followed my, like, what I thought was really funny and where I felt really good. And I performed with a lot of gay men because they made me feel really funny. They were less judgmental, less tough.
The best audience in the world,
right,
are gay men.
Absolutely. The most supportive they get. And when they get you, they don't let go. They're the great. And I feel like that was really the biggest part of my training too, is just to sort of go where the love is. You have to do some of the tough stuff, but you gotta go where you get the laughs.
And gay men, God bless them, they laugh at anything because they are so stupid. They no. Queen of the gays, queen of the gays.
But they're so tan and cute.
They're so they're, as you said, they're fans, and they don't just love you. They're excited that you met somebody.
Right.
You know, like
right.
You met.
Oh, right.
You met Sharon Stone. tell us everything. You know, so,
right. It's a really important part of the nurturing of my self-esteem, you know? I mean, because the straight guys are tough, you know? I mean, and the clubs, they're just tough. And they don't mean to be tough. They're so messed up. Some of those guys are so fucked up, you know? And when they say women aren't funny, it's like, well, first of all, where have you been? That is such an old idea. And get out more. The world has changed.
Yeah, thank God the world
has changed. Thank God, right?
So, your father, you're Irish, both sides?
Yes.
And your father owned a bar?
Yes.
So, were you allowed to hang out? And what was the free lunch?
there was no free lunch. Oh no, it was, no. We used to go there and clean on Sundays when it was closed. So that was really the only main time that I was there. Occasionally, my mother would pick up dinner for us on Fridays. There, she'd have like tuna fish and shrimp, and my mother would have a drink, and then we'd go home. So I, you know, and it was a big square bar. You could run around it. You couldn't see the others. My first men's room, Joan, was at my dad's bar. Spending time in the men's room. Woo! That crazy urinal cake. Woo! Top of the world.
Who cleaned the urinal?
I did once or twice, but luckily I'm the youngest of seven, so I, you know, it was like pecking order, like, can't apologize for my birth order, but sorry, suckers.
So let's hear a wonderful Irish toast. Are you continuing your heritage?
May I say, my dad was more of a social worker than a businessman. And what I mean by that is that he owned the apartments above the bar, so some of these guys, they were down on their luck, he would let them work off. You know what I'm saying. And you know, so many times we'd have an alcoholic like putting up a shelf in the laundry room or mowing the lawn or, you know, scraping the wallpaper, something like that. So I feel like what I learned was more that typical, you know, being of service to other people, you know, look how lucky you are. You don't smell like wallpaper paste like Mike over here. You know, there was like a whole, you know, but I learned about the characters and the heart, you know, so I feel like, I mean, you know, I'm not like, I feel like I'm a professional Irish, I'm a professional, you know, American Irish Catholic. You know what I mean? That whole, so, you know.
Do you like the new Pope? I love him.
I do too.
I
do too, right?
Great.
It's about time, right? Boy, did they mess up the last one.
Oh, well,
not so good.
Little Nazi, kind of. A lot of Heidi Klum walking around there. But this one is A-O.
Right? Oh. Francis took the bus, right? Oh, my God. What the hell? He even tweeted about American tragedies. He actually acknowledged us. I mean, yeah.
One mistake. white before Memorial Day. Send him a letter. Now, Melissa's here, and we always end our interviews because you have been fat.
I feel like I've said too much. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I love you. Okay. So Melissa's going to ask you some questions. What's the topic and what are the questions?
The game today is, we call it our Desert Island Quiz. I'm going to give you pairs of names, and you have to choose of the pair who you would rather stay on the island with and who you would rather drown.
Okay.
Okay?
So there's no sex involved.
No.
Okay, just check.
No. Well, okay. There can be. There
okay.
can be.
Okay. All right.
Our first pairing is Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz.
Lindsay, which?
She picked Dr. Oz. To stay
to
alive.
Stay, to stay.
To stay.
So Dr. I want to hear then. So you're going to drown Dr.
I'm
Phil.
I'm going to drown Dr. Phil, right?
Yeah.
Who's with me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Right? It's a no-brainer. Okay.
Lindsay Lohan or Tara Reid?
Lindsay Lohan.
Why?
Because there's probably no TV on the island and she's very entertaining. Tara Reid, she got to step up her game.
Yeah. Dennis Rodman or Lil Wayne?
I would drown Dennis Rodman.
Why?
You know what? Just come on, dude. Just take it down a notch. What are you doing going to North Creek? Really? You have no friends here? Really? You paint your hair a crazy color? Really? We see you. Good for you. I don't know. Just annoying. Sorry. Okay.
Colin Farrell or Liam Neeson?
Oh, my God. How dare you bring up Irishmen?
One's got to go. One's got to stay.
I'm going to keep Liam Neeson. He lost his wife. He's so lonely. Oh, my God. That's a terrible thing to say.
You're going to drown?
Colin Farrell.
I'm going to... What am I going to...
You would walk him into water and sit on his head?
I have to pick, Joan. If I have to pick, I have to pick. He never bought me a drink. Fuck it.
Who would you keep? And who would you drown?
I'd keep Liam.
You'd keep Liam.
Right?
Well, because we know him. I can't kill someone I know.
Right.
But then, of course, there's more reasons to kill people I know. I'm not saying the logic holds for every pairing.
Right on.
And then our last one, of course, Joan Rivers or Joan Rivers?
No, let's make this Joan Rivers or Kathy Griffin.
Oh, Irish redhead.
I'm gonna step out now.
You don't need to. I would drown Kathy Griffin. You know what? I'm just saying. She's still inventing herself. I'm just saying. She's arrived. I'd go with the winner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And on that happy note, Kate, you a joy. I've watched you on air, and I'm coming to see you now in real life.
You're so sweet.
I think it's so great.
I don't get a lot of makeup on The Office, so I'm
you
learning.
You have beautiful eyes.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful eyes. Beautiful eyes. Now, we always go out with applause, and then you have to do... We
like
have
the
a
clapper.
Oh,
okay.
So, yeah. Everybody applaud, please.
Oh, yay!
And then, Kate, if you would go...
That was quite a workout. But Joan, oh my God, she's gonna kill somebody. You guys have insurance? Jesus Christ. Thanks, Joan. That was amazing. I will never forget my time in bed with Joan. Doesn't get any better than this. Ooh.
I knew I was gonna love Kate Flannery because she's always so smart on what she does on The Office, you know what I mean? And. We have so many mutual friends. What I really found fascinating, that's very typical of comedians, we're both straight women with a lot of lesbian girlfriends. I mean, so we should have met before. I mean, 6 degrees of muff diving. We should have met before. I'm glad we met now.